almost I'm to the point where I'm happy to be anywhere at any time, but especially the Lord's house. It is so precious. It costs so much. We ought to cherish the great privilege that God's bestowed upon us to be a part of a New Testament church and be able to come together with Him through the Spirit present in our midst, as He promised, where two or three gather in My name, there am I in the midst. I have a report from the church at Prineville. It says, "Dear brethren, greetings to all whom this letter finds. The church here in Prineville is rejoicing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for His exceeding great and precious promises. What confidence we all may have through the knowledge of Him and His unchanging word of truth. In the month of March, the Lord added to this church Sister Tessa Plegman. After her testimony of salvation, she was baptized by the authority of Christ through the Okeechobee Missionary Baptist Church on Sunday, March 22nd, 2026. The work continues as such. We are still participating in the state youth rallies, visitation, one-on-one Bible studies, as well as church home Bible studies. Ladies' meetings continue and men's meetings continue. There are many souls that we are working with and pray for. Today we see a great number of people struggling with the challenges of these times. It is very hard for them to see the truth as we see it. We beg of you all your prayers that God's will be done in these people's lives. We're looking forward to the next youth rally in Albany, upcoming VBS, graduations, marriages, Bibles, conferences, and church camp. No reason to be bored. So much work, so little time, and so few laborers. May God bless you all." It's done by order of the church. Brother Nathan Hawker, pastor. Sister Leslie Hawker, secretary. The financial report, I'll just give you totals. They took in $4,728 and they spent $4,757. If you turn your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'd like to speak to you this evening on a New Testament church and some things that make her different than other so-called churches. A New Testament church is a local, visible congregation of saved, scripturally baptized people, covenanted together to carry out the commands of the Lord, which we receive through His inspired word. Its head and founder, of course, is Jesus Christ Himself. Matthew 16:18, He said, "Upon this rock I will build My church." He built His church. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send Michael the Archangel. He didn't send a group of angels. He came Himself personally while He was here on earth, and He established and built His New Testament church. And by the way, the church was complete here on earth while He was here. He Himself completed it. I've had individuals tell me that Greek word here concerning build His church was oukodomino or something like that. You guys can do the Greek. I'll stay with the country language of the South in the hills of Kentucky where I'm from. At any rate, he's doming up His church today. Is that a true statement?
Yes.
he's doming up his church today. No, he's doming up churches today. He domed up his church when he was here, and it was complete and functioning when he left. True statement. Upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church. Upon himself, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Well, how has it prevailed? It's prevailed by succeeding church after church after church. He placed in his New Testament church the authority in the commission that he gave, and sent her forth under that commission to go and preach the gospel and baptize and then teach and so forth. And he gave that commission so that she could go forth and reproduce herself. I believe a message here recently that we brought out the fact that the authority of Christ abides in and through local New Testament churches who have a lineage, church to church, back to the church Jesus built. His authority and his commission to do the work of the Lord on this earth was in and through and by local scriptural New Testament churches that descended from the church that he completed here on earth in his personal ministry. He came out, he said that he called us to bring forth fruit in the book of John. That fruit is not just getting folks saved, but that fruit was producing other New Testament churches where he placed his authority from church to church. The church's authority is the authority of Christ working through that church. And his authority is placed by abiding by the Word of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Is that 1 Timothy 2:15? I believe it is. We may know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the house of the living God. You know, all my life I've had half a brain. Now I've got a fourth, maybe. At any rate, let's get the brain cell opened up here. But anyway, the church of God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The truth is preserved by the authority of Christ in and through and by New Testament churches and passed from one church to another as she reproduces herself. Her head and founder, of course, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, or the 3rd chapter, rather, verses 10 and 11, says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of the church that he built. He is the foundation of all other churches that she has produced down through the ages. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning with verse number 19, Ephesians 2 and 19 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself. Who is the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Jesus Christ. They're not the foundation. It's the foundation they're on, which is Jesus. And so they build upon that foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. And I know that putting that together is not proper English, but that's exactly what is set forth in that in this verse of scripture. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. This is a holy temple here. I mean, this building. The Mormons have their temples. The Arabs have their temples. This building is not the temple. This building is where the temple comes together.
Amen.
The temple of the people, the church of the people, not the building. My wife's always saying, I'm going over to the church. I don't think she does that just because it irritates me, but it does. This building, not the church. You'd be amazed at how many people think that. I saw this church over here, the building. The building, not the church. It is the people. A holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Matthew, the 18th chapter says, where two or three are gathered, gather my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's in our midst tonight as the holy temple of God here in Springfield through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit being present where he dwells here on the earth. Did you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell anywhere else except in the church? Some of you don't agree. That's okay. Study your Bible. The Holy Spirit, he does his work from his dwelling place when he convicts the world of sin and of righteousness that the book of John talks about. Whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The only rule of faith and practice for a scriptural New Testament church is the Bible. The 66 books given by the inspiration of God. And all scripture, by the way, is given by the inspiration of God. In 2 Timothy, see if I've got 2 Timothy here someplace or other. Three, 16 and 17. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God is proper for doctrine. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you want to be taught and instructed in righteousness, where do you go? You don't go to the world. You go to the books, the Bible. You go to a New Testament church. That's where it's at. In 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Religion is based basically on men's interpretation of the scripture. I've preached a time or two in a so-called church out here in the world and sat in the Sunday school class. And what they do is they have you read the scripture and then tell you, what do you believe about it? What's your interpretation of it? Somebody else, what's yours? Listen, we cannot understand the Bible by man's interpretation. It's understood by the Holy Spirit. And that studying and rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the crux of the whole matter. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You cannot take scripture and make it stand alone. You cannot make it say what you want it to say. It says what it says. Just listen to what it says as you read along. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Spake while they were. Hebrews chapter 1 says that he spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the prophets. That makes the Bible, all the scripture, the word of God. If these were given the opportunity or privilege of using their own words or speaking their own, as it said by some, that they were witnesses and they wrote it down according to them in their own words. Well, if that's it, then it's their word, it's not God's. But he spoke through the prophets. That makes it the word of God, unequivocally. It's the only guide that a New Testament church has is the Holy Spirit. John 14, verses 16 and 17, "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And whatsoever I have said unto you." In Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You receive the Holy Spirit as comforter, and he will witness, or you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. The time of the origin of the church is found in Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse number 18. The origin, remember, is in the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. And here's the exact time the church was conceived. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. It said, "Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." He called out these individuals that John had prepared by preaching the gospel of Christ and teaching them the doctrines of Christ. And he came along as they were busy doing their daily work, and he called them, and they immediately got up and followed him. They needed no instruction because John had instructed them and were aware of this taking place. "It took place where two or three are gathered together in my name," he says, "there am I in the midst." That's church capacity. And so we see also in Acts the 10th chapter, verses 36 and 37, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee." Yeah. All the baptism which John preached, or after the baptism that John preached. Listen, those who were to publish his word and preach his word were those that he gave the commission to. His called out chosen disciples, his church, where he gathered them together, and he in the midst as comforter to the church at that time, that the Holy Spirit took over after he ascended back into heaven, that office work in the church. And at any rate, why he was fulfilling that office at that time. And it began in Galilee, where he had gathered two or three. Look at Acts 13:31. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Who are his witnesses? Who did he tell to go preach the gospel? His New Testament church is exactly who it was and what it was. So, confirming that it began in Galilee. I believe also you'll find in Isaiah, if my memory remembers anything, I believe you'll find that there's verses concerning Galilee and the church back there in Isaiah. And so that's the situation. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. This course confirming that this church started in his personal ministry. The church was completed in his personal ministry. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God hath sent some, or set some, in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He set in the church first apostles. That was before Pentecost. Amen. And everyone else claims Pentecost where the church started. The church was complete at that time and was functioning. And besides that, they were gathered together there for Pentecost. There was 125 of them who carried out a business meeting as a church. That was before Pentecost. So he set some in the church, first apostles. And when it was in Luke 6 verse 13 says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12 also he named apostles, a long time before Pentecost. And then in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse number 18 again, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Before, way before Pentecost. Then in Matthew 18, in verse number 20, I believe it is. Matthew 18 and 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We find they were gathered together there in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew as he was walking along the seashores of Galilee. And then we find as they went along and time went by shortly that the church was functioning fully and completely. The church, its head and founder is Christ. Its only rule of faith and practice is the Bible, the Word of God, all scripture given by inspiration of God. And its only guide is the Holy Spirit. The church should always follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You say, how do you know you're being led by the Spirit? When you're going according to the Word of God, when you're doing according to God's Word has set forth. But you can't always know that until many times afterwards. Because you see, God doesn't deal with us directly anymore. He deals with us through His Word. And the Spirit confirming that Word. Her message: salvation by grace through faith, without any mixture of works whatsoever. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 1, says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Then Ephesians 2:8-9, and again, salvation is by grace through faith without any works or mixture of works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, brethren, we ought to take and print that in our hearts. And we ought to keep it on our mind. And we ought to reach out to everyone that we can and tell them that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without any mixture of works. Why? Because all of religion out here in the world, and many Baptists teach some form of works for salvation. And their practice is works for salvation. And it's the only way you're going to get saved. It's the only way they're going to get saved. There isn't anything more important for us to do than to proclaim it. And the only way to combat the error that has been proclaimed is to present the truth. We don't need to fight about it. We don't even need to debate it. We just need to present what the Bible says about it. So the message is salvation by grace through faith without any mixture of works. Her officers are two. There are bishops or elders and deacons. Acts 14 and verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Then in 1 Timothy, or rather Titus 1 and verse 5. Titus 1 verse 5 says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 through 13. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own households well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we have the requirements to be met for elders or bishops or pastors. And we have, and by the way, elders, bishops, and pastors is talking about the same office. And then we have deacons, and we have the qualifications to be ordained as a deacon. Then her ordinances are two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And they declare, not procure. They declare and don't procure. What do you mean? I mean they present, they show forth Christ's death until he comes to the Lord's Supper. They show forth that one has become a son of God as Jesus was presented and declared to the Jews that he was the Son of God. And so they declare, they don't procure, they don't bring forgiveness of sin, they don't bring cleansing. Now I ought to be cleansed before you observe these, but that's not the purpose for them. It does not cleanse. And religion says, this is the supper. They'll give you a soda cracker and a shot of alcohol, which is abomination, and proclaim that that takes away your sin. That brings you forgiveness. That makes you righteous. The works of man makes nobody righteous. Her ordinances, again, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Her government is congregational. The members are those that determine the course and the work of the Lord's New Testament church based upon the Word of God. I love the freedom that being a part of a New Testament church gives one. It leaves you free to choose. It leaves you free to worship and to serve the Lord. When you start commanding and demanding me, I get a little puffed up and pretty quick. But when you say, come on, you're free. Now you make a decision, you make a choice. I love the freedom that we have had in this country. And then the state should stay out of the business of the Lord's New Testament churches. No ifs and ands and buts about it. And that's what our Constitution says. Constitution is not inspired, but it does hold some of the truths that God has set forth in His Word. And so, abiding by these, and they are some of the basics. Spirit through Peter said that we're to be a peculiar people, different. And these things make us different. If you're here tonight, our duty is to preach the gospel. The gospel is how that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He died because of your sin and mine. He was buried and rose again that we too might be resurrected someday unto Him. How that He died, how that He was buried, and how that He rose again is the gospel. You got to believe it with your heart. It's the power of God unto salvation. And brethren, the Lord's church is to do the main thing. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. It's getting late in the day. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Main reason He's coming soon is He's coming to get His church, His churches, His bride. Who's the bride today? She's a spouse. Church is a bride, a spouse bride. She's not His bride. They haven't been married yet. That's in the future. But from those faithful New Testament church members, they're the ones that are espoused to Him, and they're going to be united with Him. They're going to be one. They're going to sit on the right hand of the Father with Him, and Him being on His throne there. You know, that's why Jesus had this discussion with those of the woman that wanted her two sons to sit on the right hand. And He said, that's not mine to give. You see, which means the Father's going to give and present His bride. And you know what? The Lord's pastor, the Lord's churches are going to present, according to Brother Paul in the book of Corinth. Of course, it was the Spirit through Paul. They're going to present the church that they pastored, the faithful, to the Lord Jesus, or to God the Father through Him. And the Father then will present her as a bride. No, John the Baptist will. He's the one, no doubt, because he's a friend. He's going to be there. But anyway, nonetheless, He's coming for His peculiar people. We need to be more peculiar in the way the Bible teaches. Let's stand.